God's Holy Spirit,
and also
for God's blessings upon the people, mission, life, and unity of St. John's Cathedral, Jackson. Alleluia! Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia!
There is one body and one spirit.
There is one hope in God's call to us.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
One God and Father of all.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, on this day you opened the way of eternal life to every race and nation by the promised gift of your Holy Spirit. Shed abroad this gift throughout the world by the preaching of the gospel, that it may reach to the ends of the earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the day of Pentecost had come, the disciples were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh,
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Lord, show us the Father. I speak to you in the name of God who sent his Son, Jesus Christ, and his Holy Spirit to satisfy our need to know what God looks like and what we, created in his image, should look like. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Perhaps you've heard the story, I don't think that I've told it here before, about the Sunday school teacher who asked the students in the class to draw a picture of a favorite part of Holy Scripture for them. And so as she went from student to student, she could identify the pictures. Here was a woman adorned in blue with stars all around, and she knew that this had to be the Blessed Virgin Mary, traditionally depicted, adorned in blue and with stars. And she saw then a picture of a figure with five stones, and she knew that this had to be the story of David slaying Goliath. she got to one student and was totally puzzled, could not tell what this student was drawing. So she went to other students and could easily identify their favorite stories from Holy Scripture, and she would come back from time to time to this student, still couldn't determine what he was drawing. Ultimately, she said, I don't have an idea about your favorite story because I can't tell what you're drawing. I'm drawing a picture of God. You can't draw a picture of God. Nobody knows what God looks like. Well, they will when I'm finished. Philip said to Jesus, show us the Father. And Jesus said, Philip, have I been with you so long and you do not know me? When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. But what about that gospel reading? It seems out of place, doesn't it? I mean, we have celebrated, we've grieved through Holy Week. We've suffered Black Friday. We've celebrated the resurrection at Easter. Then, weeks later, the Feast of the Ascension. And now here we are at the Feast of Pentecost, this great red feast, when we celebrate the gift of God's Holy Spirit. And yet the gospel is back in a reading that would be appropriate for Holy Week in anticipation of the crucifixion and resurrection. And that was true of the gospel reading last week. They seem theologically, they seem liturgically out of place. But it's this reading from the Acts of the Apostles that clear that up for us, on account of this major feast of the church, Pentecost. When God keeps our Lord's promise to send that advocate, to send a comforter, and God's presence comes to these Christians in a new and unique way, the Holy Spirit, not just God's grace, but whenever we hear a reference to God's grace, we need also to think about power. God's grace and power leading us into all truth, keeping us united, power for unity, for being the body of Christ, power for working for the mission of Christ, for carrying out the Great Commission, to make disciples of all nations, to baptize, to teach, with that reassurance that the Lord would be with us always, even to the end of the age. That presence being in that third person of the Trinity, God's Holy Spirit. And yes, some consider this actually to be the birthday of the church, the gift of the Holy Spirit empowering the church for unity and for mission. At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. At Pentecost, we celebrate the birthday of the church. And isn't this reading from Acts dramatic? This with an account of sound, of fire, and of language. Whenever you see in Holy Spirit, by the way, and there is a reference here, there was the sound as of the rush of a violent wind. That appears in several places in Holy Scripture, including the Old Testament. Whenever you see that, we're meant to realize that God is present and something holy, something very important is about to happen. And the important, critical, and holy thing that was happening on this occasion was the gift of the Holy Spirit appearing as of divided tongues, landing on the forehead of the apostles. The gift of the Holy Spirit, flames as of fire. The bishop's mitre is meant to remind us of that. You will see how it seems to be in two parts with the points, so to remind us of the flames as of fire. And that whenever we see the mitre, we are reminded that we are a people of the Holy Spirit. A couple of other things about the mitre. The two things hanging down in the back originally served a very practical purpose when bishops were really circuit riders. And riding horseback, it's very difficult to keep a hat, any hat, especially that kind of hat, on the head. And so they were used to tie around the neck. They have come to symbolize for us two ministries, the ministry of word and the ministry of sacraments. And I probably shouldn't tell you this, but there's only one other creature that has lappets. And that creature has things kind of like that hanging down from a beak. It's called a turkey. Now, I don't expect to hear any reference between turkeys and bishops from here on. But that Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth, to keep us unified and empowered, to empowered for mission. And wasn't it a great demonstration to hear the gospel reading, to hear that Acts, the reading from Acts read in those different languages surrounding us? Imagine this scene when you had people from how many nationalities? Someone count them in that reading. And they're all hearing, they're all speaking in different tongues, but they're also hearing in the language of their birth, their native language. Also a sign that the gospel of salvation is meant for all people. Consistent with that reading from the gospel of St. John that we all know, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. Some of us kind of resent that it doesn't read, for God so loved the Episcopal Church. But we can't have it all our way. For God so loved the world. That's the meaning of these different languages being spoken and being understood. So after that, beloved, the apostles spent the remainder of their lives, borrowing language now from the baptismal covenant that we will use later today, where we all reaffirm our baptismal vows. The apostles spent the remainder of their lives proclaiming by word and deed the good news of God in Jesus Christ, living their lives to, in effect, show people what God looks like, because they had seen God face to face in the person of Jesus Christ. We've all seen many depictions of Jesus. There are depictions in the Vatican. There's the Christus Rex, where Christ is crowned and ruling from the cross and vested as our great high priest. There is Jesus in the Christmas creche. There is a depiction in recent years of a laughing Jesus. There is that pious Jesus of the greatest story ever told, the Infant of Prague, and figures that are based on the Shroud of Turin, just to name a few. But this is the kind of picture that the apostles drew with their lives: a loving God, a healing God, a teaching God, God in Christ on the cross, a God forgiving, a God reconciling, a God giving his life to earn that new and unending life for us all. But the greatest depiction of the love of God and how far God was willing to go is the crucifix. Christ on the cross giving his life, literally giving his life blood for us. And not just on the cross, but as we are assured in Holy Scripture, they are drawing a picture of Christ continuing to work on our behalf through the Holy Spirit, yes, but also at the throne of God the Father, interceding for us, always interceding for us, and giving us the strength through the Holy Spirit. A God who knows us. And if you look at Hebrews, in one of my favorite scriptures, you see that we're going to try to remember to quote it word for word by now, which is always dangerous for me. For we have not a great high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every way has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Listen to the power and the extent of that, beloved. There is never anything that we have done or have been tempted to do that Jesus doesn't know about, because he was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. And then the following verse is this: Therefore, since he has been tempted in every way that we have, and yet without sin, therefore we approach the throne of grace with boldness, not on our knees, not crawling on broken glass, but approaching with boldness to the throne of mercy, there to find grace and help in time of need. Therefore, we approach the throne of grace with boldness, there to find help in time of need. Yes, Acts draws for us a very dramatic account of the apostles. But we can't let that account of vision and power be limited to them and to their generation. Because, beloved, this reading from the Acts of the Apostles is about us. And it's about God's will for us, God's call to us. Because we too, no less than those apostles, we too have received the Holy Spirit. We're not really sure when God's gift of the Holy Spirit to us occurs, but we know it occurs in holy baptism. We know it occurs in holy confirmation. We know it occurs whenever we celebrate the Holy Eucharist. We know it occurs whenever we participate in any of the sacraments of the church, empowered, nurtured, and re-nurtured by that Holy Spirit for our lives, whatever they may be, for our unity as the people of Christ, and for the mission that we have as the body of Christ. God's presence, God's power. Because it is true, it has to be true, that if we are baptized into Christ's body, of which he is the head, then we are baptized into Christ's mission. The body follows the mission of the head. And that mission, you know what it is to preach, all of us, to preach the gospel in the own language of our lives, drawing a picture of God's love. A picture of by what we say, not only what we say, but what we do. Not just by talking the talk, but by walking the walk, drawing that picture of God's love. To what end? What's the purpose? In the collect of the day, we pray that we might all receive that Holy Spirit, that the good news of God may reach to the ends of the earth. Mindful again of that great commission, and also mindful of what Bishop Howard has called upon us to stress during this year, that we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent the person of a king in the court of another. We represent the kingdom of God in God's whole creation, in this world in which we live and breathe and have our being. I struggle sometimes wondering how the Holy Spirit, how do we get some sort of picture, since we're talking about drawing pictures, how do we get a picture of that? But it came clear to me when I saw a TV advertisement actually sponsored by the Mormons. It ran maybe 2 to 3 years ago, and they gave it without explanation. The Mormons made a good point about how we work together, how we help each other. What they didn't say in that advertisement, that it was based on a real event. It happened during the musical tour of that statesman and classical pianist, Ignaz Paderewski. He was on concert tour, and I believe this occurred in the city of Chicago. And I know it's true because I had occasion to talk to someone who was there and remembered it so clearly. It seems that the mother of a youngster who was taking piano lessons, but like a lot of us as youngsters taking piano lessons, was not all that eager about practice. And so she thought if this youngster had the experience of listening to someone as gifted as Paderewski, that he might be inspired to practice more. So she bought tickets for the concert that evening, and they came in and moved towards their pews. They don't have pews. See how I get oriented? Towards their seats, and the mother becomes distracted in conversation when she meets a friend. The lights dimmed after a few minutes, and she noticed with some alarm that her son was missing. And she was searching frantically around when suddenly she heard from the concert stage, "Twinkle, twinkle, little star." And her son was there at that great grand piano, probably a Steinway. some huge instrument. And what would you do? She was standing there absolutely frozen, not knowing what to do, when Paderewski himself stepped out on the stage. He walks over behind the child at the piano bench, and he leans over and he whispers in the child's ear, "Don't stop, keep playing." And as the child picked out with two fingers, "Twinkle, twinkle, little star," Paderewski reached around with his left hand and started playing a bass accompaniment. And then after another few minutes, reached around with the right hand and started playing, what do you call those, maestro? Arpeggios. They continued, completed "Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star," and both got a standing ovation because they made beautiful music together. It seems to me that's something of a simile about how the Holy Spirit works with us, that we bring our talents, our efforts, however great they are, however mediocre they are, however small they may be, however inadequate we may feel, and the Holy Spirit whispers in our ear, "Beloved, don't stop, keep trying," and envelops us with the presence and the power of God. And we make good, miraculous music together in the mission and in the life to which we are called. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father." And that youngster said, "Well, they will when I'm finished." Beloved, when we're finished, at the conclusion of whatever time we have, how will we have used the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives? What picture of Christ will we have drawn? What will a picture of our lives look like? What will the picture of God's love will we have drawn in the lives and the hearts of others whom God has brought into our realms of influence? That's the question that I pose to myself. Perhaps it's helpful to you too. Because I do believe that if our lives are the canvas on which these pictures are drawn, then the vows of the baptismal covenant which we are about to renew, the vows of that baptismal covenant are the framework of that picture. So let us give thanks as we have the gift of God's presence in the Holy Spirit for mission and for power and for our lives. Let us give thanks to that God who sent His Son and the Holy Spirit to satisfy our need to know what God looks like and what we should look like. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, the candidates will now be presented.
I present Jane Adams Donahue, Christopher David McCoskus, Justin Thomas McCauley, Sharon Christine Morris, Michelle Ramirez, Lisa Darlene Centers, and Carl Lee Worrell for confirmation. I present Herbert Conrad Foraker Jr. to reaffirm his baptismal vows, and I present Kenneth Masters to be received into this communion.
Beloved, do you reaffirm your renunciation of evil? Oh, dear. You know my threat to re-preach the sermon. Let's try this again. Do you reaffirm your renunciation of evil?
I do.
Do you renew your commitment to Jesus Christ? This next question is addressed to the remainder of us at worship in this house of God today. We respond in two capacities. First, we are the immediate sisters and brothers of those taking this important step in their spiritual lives as part of the body of Christ. But we also represent all of God's one holy Catholic and apostolic church who likewise will support you in their prayers. Accordingly, will you who witness these vows do all in your power to support these persons in their life in Christ?
We will.
Then, standing, let us join with those who are committing themselves to Christ and renew our own baptismal covenant. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers?
I will, God's help.
Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord?
I will, God's help.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?
I will, God.
And will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being?
I will, God.
Let us now pray for these who have renewed their commitment to Christ.
Deliver them.
Let us, in a moment of silence, pray for them by name. Jane, Christopher, Kenneth, Justin, Sharon, Michelle, Lisa, Carl, Herbert. Almighty God, we thank you that by the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcome sin and brought us to yourself, and that by the sealing of your Holy Spirit, you have bound us to your service. Renew in these your servants the covenant you made with them at their baptism. Send them forth in the power of that Spirit to perform the service you set before them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The congregation may be seated. Okay. Michelle, at your baptism, you were sealed in the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. Defend, O Lord, your servant Michelle with your heavenly grace, that she may continue yours forever, and daily increase in your Holy Spirit more and more until she comes to your everlasting kingdom. Nisa, at your baptism, you were sealed in the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. Defend, O Lord, your servant Lisa with your heavenly grace, that she may continue yours forever and daily increase in your Holy Spirit more and more until she comes to your everlasting kingdom. Beloved, the prayers of confirmation and reception and renewal of vows is a prayer of the congregation, not just the bishop. So at the conclusion of those prayers, there's nothing more appropriate than a very loud
Amen.
Thank you. Christopher, at your baptism, you were sealed in the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. Defend, O Lord, your servant Christopher with your heavenly grace, that he may continue yours forever and daily increase in your Holy Spirit more and more until he comes to your everlasting kingdom.
Amen.
Kenneth, at your baptism, you were sealed in the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. Kenneth, we recognize you as a member of God's one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, and we receive you into the fellowship of this communion. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless, preserve, and keep you.
Amen.
Carl, at your baptism, you were sealed in the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. Defend, O Lord, your servant Carl with your heavenly grace, that he may continue yours forever and daily increase in your Holy Spirit more and more until he comes to your everlasting kingdom. Justin, at your baptism, you were sealed in the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. Defend, O Lord, your servant Justin with your heavenly grace, that he may continue yours forever and daily increase in your Holy Spirit more and more until he comes to your everlasting kingdom.
Amen.
Chris, at your baptism, you were sealed in the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. Defend, O Lord, your servant Chris with your heavenly grace, that she may continue yours forever and daily increase in your Holy Spirit more and more until she comes to your everlasting kingdom.
Amen.
Jane, at your baptism, you were sealed in the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. Defend, O Lord, your servant Jane with your heavenly grace, that she may continue yours forever and daily increase in your Holy Spirit more and more until she comes to your everlasting kingdom.
Amen.
Herb, at your baptism, you were sealed in the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. Herb, may the Holy Spirit, who has begun a good work in you, direct and uphold you in the service of Christ and Christ's kingdom.
Amen.
I will pray for you. Please pray for your bishops. Lean on me. There we go. Is that all? We sure?
That's a good one, Bishop.
Almighty and ever-living God, let your fatherly hand ever be over these, your servants. Let your Holy Spirit ever be with them, and so lead them in the knowledge and obedience of your word, that they may serve you in this life and dwell with you in the life to come, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Beloved, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Also
let us greet one another in the name of the risen and ascended Lord.
Well, good morning and happy Pentecost. Before he runs off, let's give Bishop Henderson a wonderful thank you. Honored to have you with us, sir.
It's my blessing. As I tell Bishop Howard, I do the fun stuff, he keeps the headaches.
And the bishop will be here celebrating the Eucharist as well. Some quick announcements. If you are new or visiting, we have some information bags for you. You can either grab one at the end of the service, or if you'd like one now, raise your hand and an usher will bring one to you. Read your bulletin. There's lots going on. More information in there. After church today, we have a lot of cake in the parish hall because it's the church's birthday. So before you go out to brunch, come fill yourself up with cake. Cursillistas, there will be an area altreia today at 5 p.m. at the cathedral. Come and bring a covered dish to share. Next Sunday, we begin our summer schedule. We begin every year the Sunday after Pentecost, which moves every year. So pay attention. Next week, we'll have an 8 a.m. service and a 10:30 a.m. service. So if you show up at 11, you'll miss the sermon. There's more details about that in your bulletin. After the 10:30 a.m. service next Sunday, we will have an Age Well workshop on the myths and facts about aging, and a light lunch will be provided. Join us for that. Next Sunday as well at 6 p.m. here at the cathedral, the Civic Orchestra will be performing with a reception to follow. And then today we have the great pleasure of our offertory anthem. We welcome our guest conductor, Dr. Peter Matthews, who will lead the cathedral choir and brass in his own setting of the Pentecost hymn, Come Down, O Love Divine. Dr. Matthews is a nationally renowned composer, conductor, and music educator. We're excited you're with us as well. It is an abundant day of the Spirit here at St. John's. Walk in love as Christ loves us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Lord God, we ask you to receive us and be pleased with the sacrifice we offer you with humble and contrite hearts.
The Lord be with you, and also with you, and lift up your heart. We lift them to the Lord. Thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give you thanks and praise.
We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him, you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where, with the Blessed Virgin Mary, blessed Peter and Paul, blessed John, our holy patron, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation, now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus was known to his disciples in the breaking of the bread. Beloved, the gifts of God for the people of God.
Please join with me in sending forth our Eucharistic visitor. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and to serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God, who enlightened the minds of the disciples by pouring out upon them the Holy Spirit, make you rich with his blessing, that you may abound more and more in that Spirit forever. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
liveth, let us go forth into the world in the name of Christ, rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.